Welcome to Ad Exchanger Talks, the podcast devoted to examining the issues and trends in advertising and marketing technology that matter most to you.
This episode is supported by Google AdSense, who recently released a free ebook on native advertising. To see if native ads are right for your site, click on the AdSense banner at adexchanger.com/podcast.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach Rogers, executive editor of AdExchanger, and my guest for this episode is Kirk McDonald, president at PubMatic. Very happy to have him in the studio. Welcome, Kirk.
Thank you, Zach. Looking forward to being here.
Kirk, you came to PubMatic from Time Inc. 5 years ago. It's about how long ago I started writing about the industry. Since then, it's been a wild ride for publishers. What's changing most dramatically right now for the media seller, do you think, from a technology point of view?
Yeah, it's been an interesting, and fun 5 years. Absolutely, every time I think that we've had sort of the most interesting year in the space in media in general, then I just wait a month and next year gets more interesting.
Right.
Over those 5 years, I would say that the biggest changes for the publisher have still really been around the two trends that I think all of media evolution has been following. And really, that is this push back to control advertising decisions on a publisher's site. Everything about digital media introduced this third-party ad serving a while back, and no one knew that at the time it introduced the third-party ad serving, that it introduced an ability for a whole industry to grow around that. And without attention to it, the industry that grew around that started influencing or making changes to the publisher's relationship with their consumer audience in a way that publishers weren't always comfortable about. And everything that is from fraud to ad quality issues to poor consumer experiences on a publisher's site have been some way affected by this. And I really think in the last year, if you really want to narrow it down to just over the last year, the introduction of header bidding and what are really the next wave of that, which is a wrapper or a container tag that hosts multiple headers, has moved control of ad decisioning back towards the publisher. And I think that is the first of the whole evolution of this, which is putting publishers back in a place where they're controlling the tension around access to their impressions, because managing the tension around that is really where margin is created, where profitability is sometimes achieved by a publisher, is creating limited or controlled access to their supply. And that's probably the most innovative thing that's happened from a technology introduction standpoint in the last 18 months.
Yeah, really interesting development.
Yeah.
More control for the publisher, higher yield for the publisher. Do you have a sense of how much higher the yield has been for the average publisher that implemented header bidding in the last 18 months?
Yeah, the problem with the question, not to find fault with your question, is there is no standard answer. There's a big average, so it's directional. Directionally, it's all up, right? Our most recent quarterly mobile index, and we do these across our audience, 70% of our impressions today are mobile across the PubMatic platform, indicates that our mobile publishers were seeing as high as a 46% increase. That's a big number, but that's unique maybe to our platform or unique to our set of publishers. I would say that across the industry, everyone I've talked to has realized that by pulling that control back to their site through the use of a header tag, they have been able to gate access or throttle, maybe is a better word than gate, but they've been able to throttle access to the impressions, creating higher competition for their impressions and are seeing actually uplift in performance as a result of that. We have seen publishers realize that they don't want to just have one header tag but get to as many as six or seven and then realize that's really not optimal, and then have put in a wrapper or something that has good controls to be able to manage multiple solutions, or they've built out their own system using open source tools, and all in an effort to to become more than just tactical or more than reactive about how they deal with this. And I do see the publishers investing in this as a sort of forward strategy, a more holistic approach to inventory management, be very, very successful. And it's very exciting to see that happen.
Great. Now, how does PubMatic respond to the header bidding trend?
So, you know, it's an interesting story for PubMatic, and I do feel like it's one of those times where we were out ahead but hadn't captured the language, the marketing language around it. So we had a product when I got to the company that was then in development. This is now, again, 2011, 2012, mm-hmm. that was called HASO, Holistic Ad Serving Optimization. And what it was we moved the decisioning to the publisher's side. And this was a holistic management tag that just sat on the publisher's page. But we didn't call it a header tag when we released it. We came up with a market name and called it Decision Manager. And we did not call it a header tag. And publishers were not interested in doing this solution. It is in the last 18 months to 20 months that publishers have thought, hey, this simple tag at the top of the page is easy and it's called a header tag. And we actually took out some of the functionality of Decision Manager and launched our header solution to respond to the market need, even though we had already had a more complex solution, or more robust, I should say, solution. Now, what we've seen is it's given us an advantage to be ahead of preparing for a wrapper solution, and we've got both a header solution, a open source solution called OpenWrap that allows the publisher that actually wants to build on top of a wrapper solution and customize it into their own systems to use, and then a full enterprise-grade version of wrapper, which is very close now to what all the functionality of our Decision Manager tool was available in market. I'd say we're the full Decision Manager product, and again, this gets too much into PubMatic's product, but where that product had more features were really still around reporting and analytics on the back end. So the theory we have, or the thing that I'd love to challenge the publishers to think about, is it's not just going to be sufficient that you have a wrapper. If you don't actually have an ability to throttle all of the demand that's coming in, you still haven't accomplished anything, right? You're still leaving it to a too open selection, or deciding that only price is going to be determinant of who actually clears on a particular impression. The real value is actually that you use a wrapper solution, or ultimately a programmatic ad server solution that allows you to actually balance the tension between your direct selling capability, which is I prefer demand source X, or I prefer advertiser X at a higher priority, then I prefer advertiser B, despite the fact that advertiser X might not be the highest price, but because advertiser X could be giving me longer term commitments, access to different things that are important to my business, like data, and all of those sort of preference controls. And ultimately, that's where I think this goes next, which is moving the wrapper to be the place that you actually control all the throttling of your relationships, all the way from your direct selling, all the way through whatever is being done in your sort of open auction environments as a publisher.
Okay, so all the rules that you might want to set up as a seller around who can get access to your media, is that the next sort of area where SSP companies can create value for their publisher customers? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a combination of that, okay. And it's a combination of also brokering what is the trends on the demand side. Mm-hmm. So there is a market response in our industry all the time. So we swing in one direction very aggressively, and then we bounce back, we pendulum back. So, you know, you go back to 2008, 2009, and the big issue was, oh, the demand side has all the knowledge and all the algorithms. Those guys are outgunning the publisher, and they outgunned the publisher through 2011, 2012. Then the publishers did something. Then the demand side did something. And again, fast forward to 2015, and the publisher's response is header bidding, right? So the demand side will react again. I think the other big trend in the industry, so I started by saying in the beginning that I think one way or the other, the whole industry has been about control of ad decisioning. As one trend, I think the other big trend, it's been about what happens as brand advertising dollars realize that automation, means programmatic as well. So programmatic started being about auction. Mm-hmm. I think it's now about the bigger A, which is really automation. And automation on brand dollars, I think, will change and transform the industry as well. Mm-hmm. So those two things are beginning to happen. And ultimately for the publisher, as those brand dollars come on board, you are going to want to be able to now put some sort of human intelligence to work along with the machine learning to actually say, look, I have better relationships here with different partners and I want to throttle who has access. Mm-hmm. And I want to throttle it based on my direct seller having a conversation with someone and a pre-existing relationship or a future relationship that I want to actually nurture. Mm-hmm. Because we're seeing still a migration back, I won't call it a rush, but a migration back to contextual relevance and quality, both in terms of ad quality and inventory quality, which simply means that this sort of full commodification of all impressions being equal and only being determined based on whether or not they yield higher is really going to That's over. The next generation of programmatic is really much more intelligent than just simply the machine learning based on the one input of, is this the highest price over the last bid? Mm-hmm. And I think that's going away and it's going to be replaced by a more sophisticated understanding of how media needs to transact or trade.
Sure. Got it. Great. Wonderful insights there. Just to return to header bidding for a moment, there is a perception that that this is bad for SSPs. Rubicon sort of said on their, recent earnings that they didn't see the trend coming or they didn't get out in front of it enough.
Yeah.
And they lowered their guidance. Not to single out Rubicon. They're just one company of many. They just happen to be a public one, so we have visibility into their financials. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put you on the spot and say, is header bidding messing up your business? But is header bidding messing up your business?
Thanks for putting me on the spot. I will respond by saying that PubMatic has had its strongest year ever in 10 years.
Okay, great.
We feel great about the business. We are running a profitable business now in our fourth year and couldn't be more excited about kind of the growth trajectory we're on.
Okay.
So now, that could be a combination of different things, right? We, again, had a header solution for the last 3 years, so we actually had learning around it. Mm-hmm. We actually priced it appropriately going into the market. Who knows? So we have not seen it create a disruption there. Ultimately, I guess it's also philosophical as a company. What do you really think your company is about? So, the name SSP was kind of created before or after the companies themselves created missions. And the concept of companies being ad network optimizers that started now 10 years ago between PubMatic, AdMeld, Rubicon, they're all responses to or happened right around the same time that that there was some realization that controlling ad decisioning was important. Mm-hmm. So in the spring of 2007, I was fortunate. I'm sitting around enjoying my time working for DrivePM and Atlas. And, there comes a telephone call in from a very important partner of ours that says, look, we want to talk to you guys about moving the commercial agreement to strategic. And somewhere from the start of that call to some 90 days later, DoubleClick is acquired into Google, Atlas and Aquantiv, DrivePM, which is part of Aquantiv, and Avenue A Razorfish is acquired into Microsoft, 24/7, and they're OAS, their ad server, acquired into WPP. Mm-hmm. Right Media acquired into Yahoo. I mean, four amazing deals, $10 billion worth of acquisitions, all transacted in like 60 to 90 days. It's nuts in the spring of 2007. And not a lot of people realize, but clearly they were looking for something and they were looking for all the data that was spilling off of or spilling out of the ad server that could then drive intelligence in ad decisioning. So very, very powerful thing. And then SSPs kind of all get birthed around this time, right? So
yeah.
It's interesting that that's 10 years ago and that's about the age of every single quote-unquote SSP. So is the SSP still relevant? I think what's relevant is companies that are independent and capable of bringing revenue management capabilities and introducing them to people that care about holistic management of their asset for sale or transactions. If you do that on the buy side, you're still called a DSP, but I don't know if that's what they are anymore. There's so much about data. There's so much about consoles. There's so much about a buying platform that I don't know if it's fair to just call them a demand-side platform. And similarly, if you do it on the publisher side, you're called an SSP, but really turned into revenue management platforms, like revenue automation platforms. That's what we are today. So we should help a seller of media reduce the cost of sale, add and apply intelligence to the sale, enrich the impressions to get its highest value. We're seeing the industry really celebrate the automation of value, right? Mm-hmm. And as you automate value as a publisher, you do require what we offer. So no, header bidding, if you really realize that the customer for us is the publisher, header bidding hasn't been bad for our business. It's been great for our customers. And if mm-hmm. it's been great for our customers, it should likewise be great for our business. It's the first step. So we didn't just settle there. We built out a holistic ad serving solution and launched what is the whole platform name under PubMatic 7 a little while ago now. And inside of that is a unified ad serving platform. And we think there are companies now, publishers now, that are looking for credible alternatives to Atlas. Atlas no longer exists as an ad-serving solution. And the Google option has come with both advantages and challenges. And maybe, especially in different parts of the world, maybe publishers now realize there are credible alternatives where they could look at an ad-serving solution that is not Google. So I do think Google's dominance there is finally going to change. And the quote-unquote companies that were SSPs that have now brought a complete suite of solutions to market haven't seen business challenges, but actually are just, you know, they're accelerating into their rightful role, their rightful enablement of publisher monetization.
So no biggie, you're just selling against Google.
No, no biggie. We're just selling against Google.
How has the nature of the sale changed for you in terms of the length of the sale or the prospect, the specific person you're targeting at the publisher?
Yeah. So it's a great point. So yeah, we're just selling up against Google. But you know, the exciting thing for us is that our customers are smarter today than they were last month, and smarter definitely than they were last year and 5 years ago and so forth. So we anticipate them being smarter again next month. So now I think 2015 and 2016, for the first time, we were not evangelizing, oh, you've got to hear about this thing called programmatic. No, really, it's right. Not going to threaten. Everyone said, no, I know what that is. Please don't come in here and tell me that the industry is going programmatic. Can you come in here and tell me how your product is going to enable how we work with our sellers to make this work?
And that's an interesting point. I mean, the publisher ad ops people and yield people have gotten really knowledgeable. I'm not sure you could say the same is true of brands and advertisers. They are still outsourcing their knowledge to a larger extent than I think publishers have. Publishers have really absorbed best practices and sort of technology lessons. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. I wonder why that is. Why the brands haven't brought the same level of expertise in house.
Well, so this is the first time I've even answering a question close to that. So it's a mm-hmm. great question in that regard. So allow me to a little bit live on it, right? So here's my take. On the publisher side, a lot of the publisher knowledge has come from the fact that they've hired from the companies that were supporting them. Mm-hmm. So they've gone into and hired, you know, their customer success person, their account manager from the SSP that was supporting them. It's a very knowledgeable person. So when you start bringing in those people from the companies into the publishers really build their knowledge very, very quickly.
Whereas as soon as someone at a brand gets smart enough to be an expert practitioner, Google poaches them.
There you go. I think on the other side, that's exactly what happens. Or Facebook, the other
sure.
place. So they go into the both of those places, which are very attractive places for them to go and cultivate their careers, and that's worked out really well. So I do think that's happened. Now, with that said, I do think it's interesting from what I've read to see companies like P&G invested in this a while back and building out with their custom DMP solution, building out projects like Hawkeye for their buying platform. But then you're also seeing new big brands now start saying that they're going to try to bring the programmatic expertise in-house, whether it's Disney or General Mills and others. So I see them doing that. And remember, they've always, not always, but over the last 7 years, they've built up DMP relationships as well. So I do see the technology itself beginning to commoditize a bit, everyone beginning to realize the value is going to be tied to first-party data, whatever they hold and can manage, and a much more sophisticated conversation happening between the buy side and the sell side. And the good news is I think the propaganda of ad tech is finally getting cleared up. And the propaganda of ad tech has been built on this premise that the buy side and the sell side were always fighting with each other, that there was some adversarial relationship and ad tech was here to broker those. that exchange model of ad tech really has not been what's been in place. Mm. The buy side and the sell side have always had great relationships. And remember, my background is purely being a seller as a publisher. And I had great relationships with the agencies. I mean, some of the best friends I have in the world are still those relationships. So what we've needed, though, was ways to actually ingest data and overlay it on a digital asset called an impression to understand the value. We had to automate the value of the impression and get it to a place where we both agree that what it is and then transact it at the rate of millions, if not billions, of impressions in a very short window of time. And that absolutely needed technology. It was never going to continue being done with humans. When it was 120 pages in a magazine and the magazine came out once a month, very, very manageable asset. When it is billions of impressions that could actually happen over a weekend, it really has to run on some technology platform, especially when the decision has to be made in under 100 milliseconds. Yeah, I think that's been required. But now that publishers and buyers and sellers are talking to each other again, I do think some of the propaganda of ad tech is going to go away. And the real value of our companies is going to be seen as, you know, software as a service. Mm-hmm. So moving to that model is really where success will be found for us.
Okay, interesting. Now, in terms of the PMPs and private deals and that marketplace, that's been emerging in fits and starts, I would say, in recent years. Where are we at right now?
Early ad tech, again, is this idea of optimizing ad networks, right? A very human approach to getting value out of some impressions that didn't get sold, right? Mm-hmm. So it attracted a particular type of dollar that was always looking for low price. The introduction of PMP says, look, there is a priority that I'm concerned about, and that priority is placement. Mm-hmm. So I care where the ad goes, not just that the ad delivers. Mm-hmm. So the introduction of PMP is this idea that price is not the only axes that I care about. So if you look at an X and Y axis, I now care about price in its relationship to context or placement. I think PMP is in multiple stages. There's PMP and then there's PMP, some sort of preferred PMP that goes past just now that I care about the placement or first look at the impression. I also care about making sure that I get a certain amount of fill, and or I will commit to a particular volume, which is going to be this thing called PMPG as that comes on board. I think we're going to keep migrating through private marketplace. Earlier, I was talking about the pendulum. So mm-hmm. this pendulum of control has shifted back to publishers with header, bidding, and wrapper, right, which ultimately ladders up to holistic ad serving management or unified ad serving management. I think the reaction to it now is where the agencies, not just the DSPs, but the agencies and a few of the auction-based buyers are going, which is they're now trying to control or insist on priority in the ad server. And they're willing to do a PMP that could actually have a priority placement in the ad server. And this gets a little more technical than I'm going to be the best person to describe. Mm-hmm. But remember, a PMP is still fighting through two auctions. So it's fighting through the auction that decides how high your priority is at the DSP through the exchange, and then ultimately the auction inside of their wrapper.
Right.
If you could cut through that noise, I think you would actually have a much more successful outcome. That's what the buyers are looking for. And I think that's the evolution we're going to now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this promise of automated guaranteed is coming, right? What is that? But just workflow of programmatic workflow introduced to the direct order process. I think the step that we see next with PMP is what, you know, what we've called the biddable IO, which is this concept that, look, I will make commitments with you, the publisher, around the things that you care about, like volume, which is important to your forecasting. Mm-hmm. And I'll go ahead and make that commitment if we can also make a commitment around audience match. so that we've synced our cookies in a particular way. And now I will create this ID that is my IO that I still use all of the bidding capabilities behind, but that needs to cut through if you can assure me that I get the priority placements in the server that I need. And that's what we think is the next evolution of PMP. It's the biddable IO. And I, you know, Google has an advantage here because obviously they control the ad serving and their ability to cut through that. But we're pretty excited about where we are with our solution there as well. And beginning to have the right conversations with demand partners or buy-side partners who are looking for preferred access to publishers. Mm-hmm. So we've built that program out now. We're actually actively working with a few agencies on those relationships.
Okay, great. With guaranteed
placement or placement, priority.
I think people use these words and we don't necessarily know what we're referring to. There's a thin layer of this industry which is using these words in a specific defined way. And then the rest of us, myself, I'm guilty of this.
Yeah.
We'll use PMPs, programmatic guaranteed, programmatic direct, private deals, all interchangeably, you know, for which I'm sorry and I'll try to atone. But I think where it's all going is clear. I mean, we're going to where television and digital media will be planned in an integrated way and executed in an integrated way. And that means eventually the upfronts are going to come into play here. Digital media will be packaged and sold with traditional television supply. And people like, you know, Linda Yaccarino at NBC and Jerry Wang at ABC are going to be coming to the table with their digital impressions
right.
in their pocket, ready to negotiate. So you guys may need to be prepared to support, you know, media packages and sales that are integrated with a year-long television program.
Exactly. So again, this is the pressure that I think is creating the need for the thing I just described, the biddable IO, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for solutions that look like automated guaranteed solutions. And I do think there are some companies that are a little bit further ahead than others in delivering that holistic opportunity. And you're right. For too long, programmatic has only meant auction solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Now it means workflow plus auction,
mm-hmm.
right? So just really means automation of the industry. This idea, though, really is achieving the goal of the following. I want to actually get the best value for the impression, and I would like to actually get to an agreement between buyer and seller that I'm getting to some true value or some true CPM worth for this impression. And to do that, buyer will bring data to the table, seller will bring data to the table. That data will need to match and reconcile to say, look, the impression is this. Then the tension of supply and demand, which is how available is this impression? Is it available elsewhere based on the data attributes? And then what is the right price? And then let's do that at high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that has to be there. That's the business we're in today. I love the fact that we are unique in that because it means that we can't be running an exchange business. Because an exchange business runs on the arbitrage of the ignorance of the buyer and seller between each other, which is the unknowns. I don't really know what my impression is worth and I'm creating a fake price on top of it. And I don't really know what the impression I'm trying to buy is worth. So I'm going to try to buy it for cheaper than I think it's worth in an effort to win. And then in the middle, the ad tech propaganda I talk about is this idea that I'll arbitrage on the ignorance of the buyer and seller for a while.
Sure.
I don't think that exchange model has a long future. I think that is where people have challenged for transparency of price, et cetera, because their concern is that
where the header bidding has squashed a lot of fees.
Exactly right. It's cut through some of that noise. And I think coming from the other side is going to be this idea of this.
If as an exchange platform, you are not offering the lowest possible bid, then
your value is gone.
You won't have the visibility into the publisher impressions.
That's right.
If I understand it.
That's right.
Interesting stuff. So one more question for you. What do you expect next year, or what should we expect from PubMatic in 2017?
We're kind of trying to I hope this comes across the right way. We're trying to become the company that fades into the infrastructure of our customers. If we do our job well, we become more relevant, more sticky to everybody that uses the platform, but we fall out of the everyday conversation. We, as enterprise software, we should be the power behind, the power inside of our publishers being more successful and our brand buyers or buyers just getting access to the supply that they're looking for. So, we are steadily focused on operational rigor internally. We're steadily focused on making our employees have a great learning experience, a fun working environment. We're steadily working on driving shareholder value and investor value as best as we know how to in growing the business. In the middle of that, we think some of this sort of focus that we put back into the business, all of the ad tech companies, I think, sort of have S-curve growths, right, which is high growth periods followed by a little flattening, then, next high growth periods. We're in one of those growth periods right now in the business, very excited about it. So 2017 is that kind of year ahead for us. Look for us to continue to innovate around programmatic direct brand dollars coming online. So you'll hear us talk about our PMPG solution, again, our biddable IO solution. You'll hear us talk more about our unified ad server. With 70% of our business being mobile and a growing percentage of being at video, two places you'll see a lot more product innovation from us. And then, we're going to keep watching things like the M&A activity that's taking place, the consolidation around the space, because we realize that scale and reach is such an important part of this as well. So that's it. But other than that, it'll be business as usual.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Kirk McDonald, president of PubMatic. Really appreciate you coming in.
Hey, thanks so much for the time, Zach. This was great.
And thank you to the listener. Please keep tuning in. We release new episodes about once every other week. If you haven't done so yet, I invite you to subscribe and leave a review. Thanks very much.
Recorded at the studios of Bigfoot Music in New York City.